See, God says in James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You are as close to God as you choose to be. Here's the question. Will you choose to draw near to him? Will you make a choice? It says, God, if the door's open, then I choose to draw near. And I want to draw near and be close to you. And I want to be best friends with you.
One of the most valuable treasures in this life is true friendship. And since that's the case, wouldn't it stand to reason that a true friendship with the one who created the whole idea of friendship would be, well, infinitely valuable? Well, sure it does. And today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, we'll get a glimpse of God's heart and what our Heavenly Father deems important in a friendship and how we can have one, a personal one, with Him, our Creator and Sustainer. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles. The message today is called, Why Can't We Be Friends? From the series that we're featuring this month called, Why on Earth Am I Here? For information about the message or the series, please go to fromhisheart.org for more details. Now, though, open your Bible to the book of James. Here's Pastor Jeff to give us the answer to the question, Why Can't We Be Friends?
Please turn to James chapter 2. And we'll look at just a few verses and focus in on the end of verse 23. The scripture says this. James is talking in James chapter 2 about faith and works. And James is basically saying this. You know, a lot of people say they have faith, but there's nothing in their life that backs it up. And he said, hey, faith without works is dead being by itself. You know, you are saved. The scripture says you're saved by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. Real, genuine faith always has works that flow out of the faith. When you really know God, you begin to do things for God, because real faith has legs on it. And that's what he's saying as we pick up in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Faith was completed, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The friend of God. That word friend is the Greek word philos, where we get our word Philadelphia and other things. It means dear, beloved. Abraham was called the dear of God, the beloved of God, the friend of God. Hey, how can that be true of you? How can you become best friends with God? Four steps to becoming best friends. Step number one, understand the truth. Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know the truth, then the truth sets the captives free. What is the truth? Well, the truth as it relates to being best friends with God is that you can be. See, lots of people don't think they can be because they look at their own lives and they say, there is no way God would be my best friend. I am such a bum. I just fail all the time. I'm just such a sinner, and I have seemingly no victory in my life, and there's so much sin that I struggle with, and how could God be best friends with me? I'm so unworthy. But the truth is, the Lord wants to be your best friend, and he will be your best friend, and he invites you to draw near to him. What an invitation. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The door is open wide. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God says the door is open. You just draw near. And if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Very first step in becoming best friends with God is you understand that it's possible. You understand the truth. Step number two, not only do you understand the truth, but then there's some things that you must do in order to deepen that friendship. And the first thing that you have to do to deepen the friendship is talk to him. In any friendship, if you're going to become friends with a person, you got to start talking. And when you talk to God, very important, God is looking for some things. Number one thing that God is looking for when you talk to him is honesty. Honesty. Hey, you want to be friends with somebody, best friends with somebody, you got to start being honest with that person. And when you talk to God, be honest with God. Don't tell God what you think he wants to hear. But see, when I pour out my heart to him, when I'm very honest with the Lord, then I can keep fresh with him. And I just tell him what's really going on inside. That's what he wants to know. God says, I want you to be honest with me. Trust in me at all times and pour out your heart to me. He wants honesty. And in our communication, in our talking with him, not only does he want us to be honest, but he wants us to be frequent. He's looking for honesty. He's looking for frequency, that we talk to him a lot. Good friends, best friends, they talk to each other a lot. That's how they got to be best friends. That's how they maintain their status as best friends. They talk a lot. And the scripture says, pray without ceasing. Talk to God without ceasing. You start your day off and you place that phone call to God and you never hang up the phone. Doesn't mean you're talking to him all the time, but it means the phone is always off the hook. And you don't have to dial him up again. It's just the connection's always there. You're not on a dial-up service. You're on a cable service. You're always online, so to speak, speaking in computer terms. You're always online with God. You pray with frequency. Talk to him. Talk to him. That's a big component of becoming best friends with God. You talk to him. Number three, you listen to him. I understand the truth. I talk to him, and then I listen to him. See, you and I speak to God through prayer, and God speaks to us through his word. Primarily, God speaks through his word. Now, there are times that God speaks in other ways, but most of the time, God will speak through his word. You come to church, and as you hear the preacher preach, something he says, as he is God's vessel and God speaks through him, goes straight to your heart, and you just know God wants me to do this, God wants me to do that. You're reading in the scripture in a quiet time, and something leaps off the page. That's how God speaks. He speaks through his word. The Bible says the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's a living book. This isn't an old dead book, a wooden book for people with wooden heads. This book is alive. And God will speak to you through his word. So you and I need to feed on his word. Feed on his word. Because that's how God is going to speak to us. So we have to spend time. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 verse 20, he who gives attention to the word shall find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Give attention to the word. Now, the scripture also says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, a verse that a lot of people know, says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But what that word vision really means is this: where there is no word from God, the people perish. They fall to pieces. You need the word of God, and I need the word of God. My number one responsibility before God as a pastor is to spend time in the word of God and to preach the word of God. That's my number one responsibility before God. And that's what I want to make sure I never get the number one thing that God's called me to do and get it out of whack, that it becomes second or third or fourth. And I need to always guard time so that I can do the number one thing. And people, you and myself, we need that to hear the word of God. You need to hear it from me. You need to hear it in your Sunday school class. And you need to hear it straight from God as you just study yourself, as you spend time in the word yourself. And if you give attention to the word, the Lord says you're going to find good. You feed on his word and you meditate on his word. See, I read it, I hear it, I come to church, but then I begin to meditate on it. The Bible has a lot to say about meditating on his word. Now, I talked about meditation, transcendental meditation, which some people do, where they just clear everything out of their mind, or they just kind of open up their mind to the evil spirits and things like that, though they're not thinking of it in those terms. But the Bible never says you're to open your mind up like that. You're to focus your mind on God. And meditation, from a scriptural standpoint, is to take God's word and you begin to meditate on it. And the Bible says in Psalm 119, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. Bible says in Psalm 1 that the righteous man meditates on God's law day and night. He's constantly thinking about his law. He's thinking about the word. Now, you know what meditation really is? It's illustrated so well with a cow. You know, you have cows. I did a little bit of study about a cow. Cow has four stomachs. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Some of you farmers might know that. I didn't know that. I'm from the city. And a cow, four stomachs. And a cow will eat grass and chews up the grass. You know, cows, they're never in a hurry. Eat, they chew it up, and goes in one stomach, stomach number one. And stomach number one takes it into stomach number two. And in the stomach, you know, it's being softened and acids and different things like that in the stomach. And then as the cow continues to eat, he gets full. And then he burps up what's in stomach number two. And that's called his cud. And he chews that cud more and more and more. It's already ingested, and he burps it up and chews it up some more. Pretty gross, isn't it? You know, aren't you glad you're not a cow? But that's what cows do, and they just chew on that. God says, that's what I want you to do. A cow will chew his cud 8 hours a day. Isn't that wild? God says, I want you to meditate on my word. See, get the word down in your heart. That word, the scripture says, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You need to memorize the word. And when you're young, take advantage of a mind to memorize the scripture. How many in here say, I'm older now and it's very difficult for me to memorize? Anybody like that? The older you get, the harder it is to memorize. When you're young, you can memorize. When I was in college, I could just memorize scripture, and I spent a lot of time memorizing scripture. It is so much harder for me to memorize. So much harder. When I was 21, man, I could just memorize. I memorized 2 Peter, all three chapters, one summer, just went through and just memorized it. Man, if I were to memorize three chapters now, I don't know, it'd be so difficult to do because I just don't have that sharpness like I used to for memorization. But you memorize the word and you get it down in your heart, so it's in stomach number two, so you can spit it back up and chew on it. Think about it. Think about the words. All, love the Lord with all my heart. All, Lord, it says all. And you just talk to the Lord about it. Lord, what do you mean by that? And all my soul, Lord, show me the truth of that. And all my mind, and all my strength, and all. And you just think and you meditate, and you feast and feed and meditate and nourish yourself on the word of God. And God will speak to you, and you'll draw close to him. In any friendship, there's sharing back and forth. You talk to your friend, and your friend talks to you. And that's what you do with God. You talk to him, you listen to him, and then one final step that you do to build a friendship with God, a deep, close, intimate friendship with God, you obey him. You obey him. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, we talked about in James 2 about Abraham. We use that as our text. Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham, who worshiped the moon god, now was called the beloved, the dear, the friend of God. Only man in scripture to be called the friend of God. God says in the Old Testament that he spoke to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. But he didn't just say, Moses is my friend. He didn't say Moses was called the friend of God, although he was. Very deep, intimate relationship, Moses and God. But Abraham singled out the friend of God. And Abraham is known for his faith. He's a man of great faith. And Abraham has two instances in his life where his faith was just incredible, where God asked him to do something and he did it, and it showed that he believed God because his belief resulted in action. His belief resulted in works. The first thing God asked him to do in Genesis chapter 12, God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, he said, go to a land that I'll show you, and in that land I'm going to make of you a great nation, and you're going to have descendants like the sand on the seashore, like the stars in the heaven. You can't even count them for number. Abraham didn't have any children. Abraham was 70 years old. His wife was 60 years old. She had gone through menopause. She couldn't have children. They never had children. They were barren. He lived in Ur of the Chaldees, and he had been there his whole life. And God says, go to a land that I'll show you. And Abraham said, where? And the Lord said, I'll show you when you get there. And the scripture says he went out not knowing where he was going. He just went out. He had faith. He believed God. And God said something for him to do. He didn't understand it, but he said, okay, I'll do it. And he stepped out and he went. God said, I love Abraham. He is my friend. He obeys me. The second time, you fast forward some time, Abraham now has Isaac, his son of promise, his son when he was 100 and his wife was 90. And God came through on the promise. He said, I'm going to give you a son from your loins and from Sarah's body. I'm giving you a son, a miracle son. And he did. He gave him Isaac. But when Isaac was about 20 years old, Abraham was called by God. And God said to him, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, go take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Take him to one of the mountains on Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice to me. Abraham said, excuse me? Offer him as a sacrifice to you? Is that what you said, Lord? He said, yes, that's what I said. Offer him as a sacrifice to me. Abraham's got to be thinking, this is the son of promise. This is the son that you're going to bless the world through this son. This is the son that through him all, I'm going to have descendants like the stars of the sky, like the sand of the seashore. You want me to sacrifice him? And he didn't understand. But he said, yes, Lord. If you tell me to do it, Lord, I'm going to do it. He obeyed God. And he was getting ready as he went up to Mount Moriah and strapped his son to the altar there. And he took the knife and he was ready to slay his son. And right before he plunged that dagger into his son's heart, the Lord called and said, Abraham, stay your hand. Hold back your hand. He said, for now I know that you fear me, that you trust me. And God provided a ram in place of Isaac. God did a miracle right there. And Abraham believed God and his faith was counted for righteousness. He obeyed him. He was friends with God. You want to be friends with God? You understand that you can be. You talk to him, you listen to him, and you obey him. And when God tells you to do something, you do it. See, genuine faith is evidenced by obedience. When you really believe God, you obey him. You do what he says. You say, well, Jeff, what if I don't understand what he's telling me to do? I mean, he says something to do and I don't understand it. Abraham didn't understand it. You just do it. You just do it. God is telling you to do it. You just do it. And you say, you can ask God, God, why? I don't understand this. And God says, well, that's on a need-to-know basis. And you don't need to know. You just trust me. You just trust me. God wants you to obey him. Even if it doesn't make sense, you obey him. And listen, in areas of your life where you're not obeying God, maybe it's in the area of finances. Maybe it's in the area of sexual purity, you're not obeying God. You're allowing sin to get in your heart. Maybe it's in the area of being honest in business. You're not obeying God. Disobedience calls God a liar. Disobedience says to God, God, you're a liar. You know, if you're disobedient to God, you're never going to be good friends with him because you're calling him a liar. And when you call God a liar, it's hard to get close to a person that you constantly call a liar. You say, I don't understand, how is disobedience calling God a liar? Well, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, the one who does not believe God has made him a liar. And if you're living with sin in your heart, this is what you're saying your sin says to God. God, I know better than you know. God, you say that I'm supposed to be pure sexually, but God, it is better for me to live sexually immoral. It fulfills me to have sex outside of marriage. It fulfills me to have pornography on my internet and in my home. That's fulfilling for me, God, and that's the better way to live. You call God a liar. You hold on to sin. Call God a liar. God doesn't like it when you call him a liar. Listen, God's ways are true and God's ways are right. You hold on to bitterness toward another person, you call God a liar, because God says you get that out of your life. God says you forgive, you let that person go and you get that out. You say, no, God, I'm gonna hold on. That person wronged me. I'm holding on to this. You're calling God a liar. You can't get close to God if you call him a liar. God says, you obey me. And when I tell you something to do, even if you don't understand it, obey me. And if it's hard for you to do, then talk to me about it and get my power to fulfill the commands that I give you. And you and I need to start obeying. And just as the Nike ad says, just do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. He's your friend. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. You can trust him. Now, I want to close with this one truth and statement, and then I want to ask you a question. The statement says this, the truth says this, you are as close to God as you choose to be. See, God says in James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Doors open on God's side. So you are as close to God as you choose to be. Now here's the question. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Will you choose to draw near to him? Will you make a choice? It says, God, if the door's open, then I choose to draw near. And I want to draw near and be close to you. And I want to be best friends with you.
To think that any believer is as close to God as he or she wants to be, well, that's a pretty sobering thought. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve today, and maybe you found yourself not as close to God as you'd like to be, or as maybe you thought you were. Well, as James said, if you'll first draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And that's a promise from God, who is incapable of not telling the truth. Now, today's message was from Jeff's series, Why on Earth Am I Here? And the lesson today was called, Why Can't We Be Friends? It was edited significantly for time today, but you can find out how to get the entire message on CD, MP3, or in transcript format when you go online to fromhisheart.org. Wouldn't it be great to have in your life the same power that we saw in the early church back in the book of Acts? Wouldn't it be wonderful to wake up each day with joy and excitement bursting at the seams? That'd be great. Well, the Bible says in Psalm 85:6, will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? You see, God wants to do a work of revival in our hearts. He wants us to rejoice. But listen, for many people, revival will have to occur in their hearts first before they can experience this fullness of the Christian life. Pastor Jeff has written a booklet to guide you to that revived heart. It's called Real Revival, and it's our thank you gift for your support of this ministry of any amount this month. To make your gift, you can simply go online to fromhisheart.org, or you can call 1-800-985-1530, 1-800-985-1530. We hope you'll visit our website, too, and sign up for Jeff's weekly email encouragement letter, and there you can also become a friend to the ministry on Facebook and follow Pastor Jeff on Twitter. Plus, you can download a free MP3 of today's broadcast or sign up to receive the daily podcast of these programs. That web address again, fromhisheart.org. Well, time is up for today, but tomorrow, the next message in Pastor Jeff's series, Why on Earth Am I Here? Here's a sample of what's in store.
Lots of people get the wrong idea when it comes to being in the family of God, when it comes to being a child of God. They think, well, you know, if you're born in America, you're a child of God. I mean, everyone is a child of God. Au contraire. Everyone is not a child of God.
Join us on Tuesday for a revealing lesson about family ties, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Pastor Jeff Shreve. He believes that no matter how badly you may have messed up in life, God still loves you and He has a wonderful plan for your life. You can find out more about that plan when you go to FromHisHeart.org.